we're back with WST Sports, your home for West Coast sports and 5-Minute Life Guides. I'm your host, Big Ben. With me today is a special guest, John Wilner of the Bay Area News. John, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks. Thank you for having me.
No problem at all. John, I know you're a big proponent of West Coast sports yourself. Before we kick off and get into the interview, I want to highlight something you're doing with the Pac-12 hotline for our listeners who have not looked into it. It's an easy Google for you, but talk a little bit about the hotline and what you deliver in what looks to be somewhat of a blog format.
Yeah, there's a few platforms. I do podcasts. I've got a newsletter, free newsletter that comes out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and you know, a lot of content on the Pac-12 hotline website. It's covering the conference on the field, on the court, and off football and basketball focus, wherever the stories are. And there's a lot of stories. Pac-12 on and off the field keeps me very busy, and certainly has been the source a lot of good feelings among fans and a lot of frustration among fans, and trying to tackle all of it in a fair and balanced manner.
Yeah, it's hot off the hotline is looks like the leadoff. John, up front, we will never plagiarize any of your content without citing a source. I will tell you that now. It's fascinating to me, everything you're able to cover, so probably for a lot of our listeners going forward, they'll appreciate that. John, while we have you, you're more or less, I think, of the people that we'll talk to this week, the most bipartisan party when it comes to this week being the Apple Cup and determining the Pac-12 North winner. Can you compare and contrast seasons between WSU and UW as one entered a nationally ranked in the top 10 and the other being thought to be a cellar dweller in the Pac-12 North?
Yeah, certainly there's a team. Yeah, I kind of figured that the Apple Cup would have a lot of playoff implications, but just not for the Cougars. And the thing is that Washington, it's not like Washington's had a bad season. They're two wins from the Rose Bowl. They haven't been in the Rose Bowl in, 18 years. But compared to, the expectation of making the playoff, starting the season with Auburn, making a playoff run, it's been a little bit disappointing for the Huskies. Meanwhile, the Cougars have been the opposite, an incredible season, blowing past reasonable and unreasonable expectations. Game day, mustache, It's been incredible for Washington State. Gardner Minshew has been about, I think most figured he was going to have a positive impact, and very few, if any, thought he would have this kind of impact on the Cougars. So there are very different trajectories of the season for these teams, but they're kind of in the same place, right? Yep. I mean, they're really, you got a division on the line, a potential Rose Bowl, potential birth in the New Year's Six for both.
Yeah.
Because, Washington State's probably going to get in there, so we could see very possible we're going to see the Huskies in the Rose Bowl and the Cougars in the Fiesta Bowl.
Yeah.
So there's still plenty on the line. It's just, not the script that we expected.
Yeah, it's the it's almost a fairy tale season for Washington State, and talking to others, some have made the claim that this may be the best season for Washington State ever. Dependent on the next few games or how the game plays out on Friday.
I don't know. That the 97 team was pretty darn good.
Yeah, with Leaf. What's the difference between God and Ryan Leaf? Well, God, Ryan Leaf thinks he's God, right? And God thinks he's Ryan Leaf, maybe. He's, it's funny to see, both programs. For some of the Cougs, or either program, it comes down to the quarterback play. Can you compare and contrast the Browning and Minshew and maybe how the progression of each, as we talk about their NFL projections?
Well, yeah, there's another case of different trajectories this season. here's Browning, who was, you know, 2 years ago, player of the year in the conference. And he's coming in senior years, expected to break records, potentially lead Washington into the playoff. And he has not played as well as I think a lot of people expected. He hadn't played as well as I thought. A lot of mistakes. Seems like he's put a lot of pressure on himself. Also, doesn't always feel like he's gotten a ton of help from the play calling. Certainly, offensive line injuries, Myles Gaskin injury has not helped. So it's been a little bit of a tougher year for him than I think a lot of people expected. And meanwhile, in the Palouse, I mean, it's unbelievable. The Minshew, it certainly says a lot about Mike Leach's offense, yep, that you can assimilate a guy coming in and he could be as effective as he is. But at the same time, he's more than just a product of the system. He has been terrific in the clutch. He has limited his mistakes, which is huge and is going to be huge in the Apple Cup, given how many turnovers the Cougars have committed the last few years. I think that's pretty much the key to the game. And he's given them, you know, I don't know if it's a swagger or an edge, but he is certainly moxie. He has certainly added a dynamic to the program, a confidence that they haven't had. And I think that that really is the story of the Apple Cup this year.
Yep.
The fact that he is walking into this game without the scars of the last four beatdowns gives Washington State, in some ways, kind of a psychological lift. They know that their leader is not—he has not been part of this. He's not going to be affected by past defeat. I don't think he's going to get rattled if they start to get haunted if they fall behind early. He's a whole different dynamic to it, and that to me is, if you're looking for reasons Washington State might finally win, I think that's where it starts, is his arrival into the series.
Yeah. I doubt the fact that Gardner, in playing at East Carolina, had ever heard of the Apple Cup prior to even signing his LOI with Washington State.
Yeah, he might not have, and that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, the shorter the memory for anybody in a Cougar uniform, the better, right?
Exactly. So, John, give us an idea. I think those that understand each program, they think about Browning, Gaskin, and on the WSU side, Minshew, Williams, Borgie, those type of guys. Give us a couple names that maybe we don't hear about all the time that could have a big effect on the game on Friday.
Well, you know, I think for both teams, it's if you kind of take turnovers out of the equation, right? If you assume that the turnovers are basically going to be even, it's going to be one of the line of scrimmage. That's where the Huskies have dominated in the past, and I think that that's going to be the key. If Washington, if their offensive line can open holes and they can run the ball effectively against the Cougars, I think that is going to be, it's going to make them very difficult to stop.
Yep.
So to me, guys like, Peyton Puller, Logan Tago, in terms of stuffing the run, keeping Myles Gaskin from getting to the second level, keeping the Huskies from getting to the perimeter. We saw a couple weeks ago, Cal was pretty effective against the Cougars on perimeter runs, and I think that the Washington State's going to have to be able to contain that. You know, if Washington is able to run for 6 yards on first down, that's going to be real significant. Other side of the ball, Andre Dillard and those guys up front are going to have to give Minshew time to throw, because you need time against that Husky secondary, right? They don't give you a lot of time, and they don't give you a lot of space. So he's going to have to be in rhythm and very precise. The Cal game a couple of weeks ago, if you're a Cougar fan and you're feeling pretty good, I would say maybe ratchet it down a little bit, because that Cal game to me was fairly insightful in terms of what we might see this weekend.
Yep.
You know, Cal's pass defense is not as good as Washington's, but it's good. and they did a pretty good job on the Cougars.
Yep, absolutely agree with you. You know, Grinch being a former, you know, Cougar Cougar coach may have had some effect there, but I think you're right. And let's get into the meat of it. I'd love to hear your Apple Cup prediction. And I'll preface this with, I saw an article that you said, you know, that UW, your prediction is still they land in the Rose Bowl, win the Pac-12 North. Now, that was before the game last week. Your most recent dialogue has been around, that's waning a little. As we talk now, are you still siding with a Husky win, or has that prediction changed?
You know, I have been on the Husky side of this with the predictions for weeks, mostly because it has been so lopsided that I just didn't think, I couldn't get myself to pick the Cougars to win before I actually see them beat Chris Peterson. But I'll tell you what, the resistance is waning. You know, I don't think it's necessarily just because of what Washington State did to Arizona.
Uh-huh.
Arizona's not very good and has gotten beaten on the road badly several times. And you know, Washington's coming in. I mean, this is a great situation for Washington, right? A bye and then a relatively easy win against Oregon State. They're getting healthier. They should be very fresh. Ideal situation for Chris Peterson. But I just, you know, I watched the Cougars, and I just think that that X factor with the quarterback is makes me think this year might be different. So I've now kind of swung. I'm in the middle, but by the time Friday morning arrives, my trajectory is going to be leaning Cougar.
Okay. As I ask you right now, you're still we're almost at a tie, a 35-35 tie. Now that may sway to a 38-35 win last minute field goal if I'm hearing you correctly.
Yeah, you know, I think it could be a phenomenal Apple Cup, but I also think it could end up being, you know, 27-24.
Yeah.
Because the Huskies, it's hard to see them, you know, Washington State putting up a load of points.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also not sure Washington's offense is capable of putting up a load of points on the Cougars either. You know, they have not been nearly as dynamic as they were 2 years ago, you know, with John Ross and last year. Were there eight turnovers last year? Did the Cougars have eight turnovers last year?
It was ugly.
Was that 2 years ago? So, you know, if neither team gives away points with turnovers or special teams mistakes, that I could see it being in the mid, you know, both teams are in the mid 20s and it comes down to a field goal. And then boy, who knows what could happen there.
then there's the flights to Pasadena will be, or excuse me, to Santa Clara will be booked. Rub your crystal ball a little more. Who ends up in the Rose Bowl? I think you said UW. And then Cougs,
you know,
went out.
I do not think the Cougs can get into the playoff. I think there are too many obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could do it, but the they have to have so many things go right that it is unlikely. So I think do I think the winner of this game is going to the Rose Bowl? I don't know.
Yeah.
Utah is playing very well.
Yep.
And Utah, I mean, we saw in September, Utah is problematic for the Cougars, and Utah's playing a lot better now than it was then.
Yep.
It's on a neutral field. I could see Utah beating either team, to be honest with you. I think that I really haven't gotten to that point where, I'm sure that the winner of the Apple Cup is gonna represent be the conference champ. Utah's playing very well. I want to see how the Utes do against BYU.
Yep.
And certainly the Apple Cup winner will have a little bit of an advantage with an extra day of rest. But
yep.
At the same time, the way Utah plays is going to it's going to make that thing a grind. No matter who it is out of the North, it is going to be a grind in Santa Clara.
Yeah. And from what I'm hearing, all the Utes fans have already booked their travel. They know they're in. So that's, it could be a somewhat of a home game for Utah.
They will be well represented. There's no question about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, John, I'm going to wrap here with saying on your Twitter feed, I'm I'm inquisitive here. The picture that you have is of a what looks to be a little kid very interested in garbage trucks.
Yeah.
To tell us a story?
Well, that is probably 4 or 5 years old. That's my son in the backseat of the car looking at a book about garbage trucks as we were driving around looking for garbage trucks. So he has passed out of that stage, but it was pretty intense at that point.
That's a good, great story. You know, certainly something I don't think many kids aspire to be, but if it's a stage and he's moved on, that's probably for the best. Well, John, again, appreciate your time. For our listeners, the Hot Nightline newsletter is a great read. A lot of download of things going on in the Pac-12. John, good luck with your continued engagement there. We'll continue to, you know, probably leverage that here on the podcast, and appreciate the tidbits and the time, and go Cougs.
Thanks for having me. Anytime. Happy to join you.
All right. Thanks, John.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.